like to leave with these two quotes. One from Bryan Stevenson. Again, each of us is more than the worst thing we've ever done. And we must apply that to each person, however we judge them, as we shouldn't judge them. And Pope Francis says, mercy is the force that reawakens us to new life and instills in us the courage to look to the future with hope. Mercy, acceptance, and forgiveness of persons in church law, in church ministry, is about giving hope for people on the journey of life. So thank you.
Dan, thank you so much for a wonderful, thought-provoking presentation that I think helps all of us understand the shift we're seeing in Pope Francis. So we're going to open this directly up into questions here and observations and requests for clarification. So please, the floor is open. If you come up and use the mic, that would be very, very helpful.
Thank you for taking my question.
Can you just speak up a little closer to the mic?
Sure.
Testing one, two.
Can you please explain further about the canon and civil laws regarding student-teacher boundaries? And have you ever crossed these lines with any prep student, university student, or novice monk?
I didn't hear your... It was...
Please explain further between the canon and civil laws regarding boundaries.
The last part of the question was, I don't know the difference of what I love and the bond, because both of them, there's a difference between criminal, what you want to call criminal issues. Boundary issues are dealing with social psychological relationships that you're making. Criminal law is dealing with specific acts. So that's, I don't understand all the questions.
Okay, the student teacher boundaries of inappropriate relationships. I do have three affidavits of victims from you, and that have said that you were sexually inappropriate with them in the past, and I would like to know if you have a response for that.
Well, since I don't know what they are, but I have not been that, so.
Okay, sir, do you teach political science, and have you ever been involved with mock trial?
Who?
Mock trial.
Never heard of the person.
No. Mock trial is where lawyers who are studying to be lawyers argue and have
competition. Oh, mock trial. Okay.
So you have been involved with mock trial?
Yeah, Joe Worship and I did mock trial.
Okay. Because Josh Gimond went missing and he was co-captain of the mock trial. And he did
I wasn't at St. John's when he was at...
You weren't at St. John's? Okay.
Nope. I was in the Bahamas.
Other questions, please?
My name's Catherine Clifford, and I'm from St. Paul University in Ottawa. I want to thank you for your presentation. I'd like to make, first an observation, and then I have two brief questions that I just invite you to reflect about a little bit. One is...
Are you a decanon of law school at St. Paul?
I'm a professor of theology, but I have lectured on the relationship between law, theology, and law for our faculty. Just an observation, I think, to support your thesis about being a community of mercy. In the first letter of Peter, chapter 2, where there's the reference to the Christian community as people of God, there's also an echo of the letter, the book of the prophet Hosea, which says, first, once you were not my people, you were lo ami, because you did not know mercy. But now that you know mercy, you have known my mercy, you are my people. So what part of what defines us as the priestly people of God is the fact that we are the people who have experienced God's mercy. That's what calls us together as a people. I wonder if you could just reflect a little bit on whether in the definition of the supreme law, the Lex Suprema from Canon 1752, which is the cura anima, the care of souls, how does the definition of mercy figure into that principle, that fundamental principle of ecclesiastical law? And would you also see an importance of mercy in the fact that, in contrast to the 1917 code, the 1983 code is focused much more on the external forum and doesn't attempt to legislate the internal forum? It leaves much more space for pastoral accompaniment and doesn't intrude, in a sense, on the conscience of individuals in the act of the legislator.
And the first one, the Quran, our care of souls, I have to think about how we translate this in English, because we don't translate the care of souls.
Sometimes it's translated as the salvation of souls, which I think is unfortunate.
But we use it in law differently, because fighting with the bishops on it, it's a pastor or something, because I dealt with it with CMS at the sacrament sessions. That becomes the care of souls. I think the issue becomes, who does it? If I say the church is a hierarchical ministry of the church, then the care of souls, the translators, that belongs to the clerical aspect of it. If I interpret the Quran Imarum as saying that is the whole church's purpose, the ministry of the church itself is Quran Imarum, then you get to every one of us is the dispenser of mercy. So the phrase is, I think it's a true phrase, that's what the church is about. Francis uses sinners, unbelief, and Stevenson used brokenness, but it's that healing. Who does it, I think, becomes the issue. It's interesting when you take the 1917 code and the 1983 code, it is true, because the 1917 code had a lot of rules on what's called internal forum, that which is done privately, and the 1983 code is much more about pastoral. So what was important before the 1983 code was the sacred penitentiary, it's about, that dealt with all these secret sins. They don't have any business anymore, because the scene is that all ministries. So that's how I see that.
I can hear you.
Okay.
hear you. Yeah, we can't hear you. You're breaking up. So, Neil, when he's responding to the question, let's cut this mic. So that's what's interrupting his speech there.
Father Dan, I know you remember me. I was one of your students in constitutional law. I just wanted to ask you a question. You said, in doubt, you must always favor the person that's the accused. Why do you feel that's necessary? I mean, if they're accused, isn't there some sort of validity behind the accusation? Otherwise, they'd be innocent.
Well, it's both a principle of canon law, and it's an ancient principle of the Roman law, in dubio favore reo, and we do it in civil law too, because the civil law, for instance, and criminal law, it has to be beyond a reasonable doubt before somebody can be convicted. Mm-hmm. And so the same principle holds in canon law, that it has to be beyond a reasonable doubt, so that accusations may or may not be true, but the whole purpose of a legal system is through that legal system to find out the truth. To give you an example, it's nothing to do with criminal civil law. When I was teaching a course in the seminary on marriage annulments, the students, they were all deacons, they would come and I'd hear a case with them. Well, in one case, then the person listened to the woman who was giving it, and then the man wanted to give testimony, so I said to the seminary, you go down to Minneapolis to get the testimony. And he came back and he said, that woman's lying. And I said, well, he said, well, the man said this, and I said, well, that's, you're gonna find out that in marriage, it's usually somewhere in the middle. But what you end up with, the system of law is designed not whether it's canon law, civil law, European law, continental law, common law, is that nobody is guilty of something until it's been proven. In our United States system, we use beyond a reasonable doubt. In the church, we use the phrase moral certitude. So that's how the system is developed. So accusations aren't truth. Accusations are accusations.
Truthfully, and I agree with you that accusations can be damaging and accusations can be out there forever. But what I'm wanting to know specifically is, why did you apologize to me in 1985?
I don't remember this.
Okay. Well, my accusations have been made. My accusations are out there. I know you're aware of them. And I know that the last time that you and I saw each other, you asked me to forgive you. And if you're willing to ask me to forgive you one more time, I'm willing to consider it, because I've been carrying around a lot of pain for a lot of years. And I'm not gonna say the accusations. You and I know.
Actually,
you said we're all broken and we're all human. So do you want my forgiveness?
Actually, it's been here today.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, if you remember, I did not say I asked forgiveness. What I said to you was, if in some way, because you said you weren't part of my groupies, I'm sorry, but I'm not here to into the discussion about something that was settled before the vice president's.
It wasn't settled. I left and threw up after you tried to touch me.
I did not. I never did.
Okay. Well, Dan, this was my one and opportunity to ask you to say you're sorry. At this point, I'm done. Thank you.